Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. What you're doing in lesson 196 in the book of Romans, chapter 12. And in verse 15, last time we read, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. In other words, don't live to yourself apart from the others, apart from your family members in terms of the brethren. Don't be an island to yourself, but be moved with the pain of others, with the afflictions of others. A lot of people like to live in their own circle, and they're very reserved, and they do not show any emotions, any feelings when it comes to others. You know, they may feel it for themselves or their own family members, immediate family members, but they don't go beyond that. And God has not called us to this kind of selfish life, and most of us by nature are that way. You see? And God is not that way. He's the head of the family in heaven and earth, all of you, of the human race. And he weeps and he cries for all of them, not only for his own people. He created all and he cares for all. And unless we learn to have that kind of nature and that kind of character, the day will come when God will give us authority and power over nations, over peoples, over cities. And if we do not have this nature in us, this character in us, how are we going to treat them? You see, God is not an exclusivist, and yet most of us tend to be that way. And this is a part of the law of God that teaches us to develop. Obviously, it's not going to be the same with others as within your own intimate family that you know them very well. But the reality is, if you open yourself and you learn to care, a lot of people will sacrifice their lives for their nation. Why do they do it? They love their country. They love their people. You see? And if we learn to do that, then that inner circle will grow and become larger and larger. And by nature we'll come to the point that when we see iniquity, when we see suffering, when we see pain and affliction, a lot of people do it by nature because they've been taught to be that way. You know, they empathize with people and they feel their pain, they feel their anguish, and they're able to help them. In either case, this is a part of the nature of God. This is a part of the law of God. How are you going to love your neighbor as yourself if you're not capable of rejoicing with him when something good happens in his life, and if you're not capable of weeping with your neighbor or your friend, you see, or your people when bad things happen to them? And it doesn't have to be a dramatic thing like September 11, where people begin to cry for others, people they haven't known. But we have to develop it as a part of our nature, because that's the nature of God, and that's what he's talking about here. Again, this is the teaching of the law, you see, the law of God. And this law reaches into every aspect of our life, be it monetary, economic, social, sexual, emotional, psychological, you see, in every given way. It's not limited to only one segment of life. As most people think of the law, just a legal code. That's an extremely narrow-minded approach and understanding, and shows an awful lot of ignorance on the part of many. And that's why as soon as I hear the law of God, you know, I don't want to hear about the law. They think about the legal code, and they develop that resentment. And that's insanity on the part of many of us, and ignorance, unfortunately. And so in verse 16 it says, be of the same mind toward one another. So there's no party spirit, yet by nature we're doing it. A lot of churches who have party spirit. If somebody was with them in their group, it's okay. He's one of us. But as soon as he leaves for whatever reason and goes to another sect, another group, another church, he becomes an enemy. You see? Because of the party spirit that is developed by the leaders. They are the greatest, the chief transgressors of the law of God, and have always been. You see? Because they seek their own. That's what Christ was saying. He condemned them for that. He revealed their nature of the overwhelming majority of the leadership. And they are in every given aspect of life. He said, all that came before me are thieves and robbers. They seek their own only. They're not there to give, they're there to get. And the Apostle Paul said it in other words. Speaking about Timothy, he said, about the entirety of the ministry, many of whom he ordained himself, he said, I have no man like-minded who would naturally care for you by nature, just like a mother. You see? Not many leaders are that way. And then he's saying about the others, all, didn't say some, few, most, all, he said, seek their own, not the things of Christ. He perceived that in the ministry, And he spoke about it a lot to the Corinthians and others by the kind of leaders that they had. Very few, unfortunately, were of the nature of Timothy. And therefore, obviously, they were not going to be of the same mind toward one another. And all of us who have been in those circumstances, we've experienced that many times. Exclusivism. People were not of the same mind toward one another. And that's the nature of the devil. It's not the nature of God. And if we are to have the nature of God, we must obey the law of God. And this is one of the laws of God. You have to have the same mind toward one another. No party spirit, not we and they. And you find it in every aspect of life. The policemen always talk about the people on the road. We and they. You see? The exclusive club. We the cops, you know, they are the motorists. They're not even human beings, they're motorists. You see? And the high brass, you know, the top brass in the army, you know, we the generals, the officers, and they, the soldiers. Not human beings. Soldiers. G.I. Joes, government property. That's a demonic mind. And it's everywhere. And people are not even aware of it. By nature, the nature of the devil that is in us from youth. We function like that. And since most of us are not even aware of it as we should be, we're not repenting. That's one of the reasons why Christ would say to a lot of people, lawless, you are lawless people. Get out of here. I never knew you. All these are aspects of the law of God, the nature and the mind of God. And that's what he's saying here. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things. A lot of people like to be only with the high and the mighty. They don't care about the lowly. And yet it says about God, though God is high in heaven, yet he cares about the lowly. Every single one of them. Just like the mother cares about the baby. She doesn't say, oh, well, you know, you're a little thing, you know, you're nobody. That's her baby. You see, we have to develop that nature and character. It's not by nature in us. We have to put on Jesus Christ. That's what it means. If you don't know his law, from Genesis to Revelation, how would you put on the mind of Jesus Christ? Would you be like him? If you just say, well, you know, I just go for only certain type of teachings, and I find them only in the New Testament, and I don't care about the Old Testament. That's insanity on the part of many. Since Jesus Christ is the one that gave that law from beginning until the end. You see? And so we develop this party spirit, you know? We are the New Testament church, you are the Old Testament church. You are the New Covenant, you are the Old Covenant. We are the Christians, you are the Jews. Or you are the Muslims, or you are this, or you are that. That's not God. That's a false God. And unfortunately, he resides in the hearts of the overwhelming majority of people who call themselves religions, you know, religious in any given religion. Only the very few find the narrow path, and therefore they're called the little flock. They're not the many. The many walk in the broadway. And so it says, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Those who cannot pay back, who cannot invite you back to their homes because they have no big homes or decent homes or homes that they can be proud of. You see? Or widows that can do much for you the way you think, you know, what widows can do for you. In our ignorance, we don't realize widows can do an awful lot for us, and little old men, so to speak. Wisdom, maturity, experience, knowledge and understanding. As we grow older, we begin to appreciate that when we recognize, especially when others treat us the same way, that we treated others when we were growing up, you know, up, and they were older and we were younger. That's what he's saying here. Associate with the humble, poor people, not too intelligent, not too smart, don't have necessarily the best manners, haven't been raised in that kind of an atmosphere. It's not their fault, you see. And people like to shy away from them when they are not of that mold. Party spirit again. They do not have the same mind toward one another. And they set their mind on high things. We by nature do it. But it's not the nature of God, but the nature of the devil. And he's the God of this world. And all of us, to one degree or the other, we're still his children. And we have to recognize that daily. And until Christ is fully formed in us, the devil will continue to still be in us to the degree that Christ is not fully formed in us yet. And unless we are constantly aware of that all the time, when I'm going to resist the devil in those areas, and he's going to continue to reside in us, and we'll think that we are just doing great, and we'll think that we're standing. When Paul said, if that's the kind of an attitude you have, you better take, you know, be aware of that, take heed, lest you fall. And that's what he's saying here. Associate with the humble, do not be wise in your own opinion, in your own conceit. And by nature, we do that too. I know something you don't know. I think I know better than you are. You're nobody. I'm the high and the mighty. You're the humble. And so forth. These are all laws that explain the royal law. That when you love your neighbor as yourself, that is your brother, your friend, you don't think like this. This becomes very foreign to you. And you esteem your little brother, your little sister, your little baby. You see, in the real life, people that may be in that category, because of intelligence or financial condition or things like that, you appreciate them, you love them, you care for them, and you help them to grow. Just like every parent strives very hard to help the little baby grow up to the point where he can be like them. Educated, civilized, with knowledge and understanding, with manners and etiquettes, with financial well-being. They do all those things, they sacrifice all their lives to that end. And that's what the Father does for us in Jesus Christ. And yet that's not what we are willing to do for each other. That's not the nature of God that is in us, unfortunately. But we have another nature, so we mind our own business. We don't care about others. And these are all matters of the law. The weightier matters of the law that commands us to love one another. It's not a choice, as we love ourselves. So all these teachings that Paul gives us here, it's because of his background in the law of God at the feet of Gamaliel as a Pharisee, learning all these matters. And to this very day, you go to the synagogue and you hear the same preaching, all from the law. And now, obviously, some people add their own opinions and understanding things that are not necessarily based on the law of God. But these are all matters of the law. The law is not done away with. How can anybody say the law is done away with? That's the very purpose of this series, to make it for you impossible to understand. No, the law is not done away with. It's impossible for it to be done away with. It's a nature of God. That's a nature of Christ. It's a nature in the doctrine of Christ, the mind of God, the mind of Jesus Christ. And unless we eat the flesh of Christ and drink his blood, which is the law of God, from Genesis to Revelation, we'll never be with him. And he will just tell us, I never knew you. The only people he knows are the ones who love his law, his nature and mind and character, and therefore he's being fully formed in them daily through his law. It's not an ethereal statement until Christ be fully formed in you. That's a reality. Every time you study a law of God and the magnification of it, and that's what it is, a magnification of the royal law and all the laws that God gave Israel in Sinai, how they should care for one another, mind each other, help one another, not steal, not rob, not defraud, not covet, not seek to their own, not be selfish. You see? That's what it is here. The entirety of the book is one book because it was given by one God on a personal basis to men, Jesus Christ. You see? You haven't been taught this if you've been raised in Catholicism or Protestantism or any other religion. But a lot of lies and deceptions, and you walk in them and you believe that they are right. And you think that you stand and you think you are a good Christian, you're good this or you're good that. You see? And for the Jew, likewise. All they think, you know, the law means only the Torah. And they're not going to read the New Testament. What people call the New Testament, obviously, it's not the New Testament, just the writings of the disciples, magnifying the law. You see? And because of that, they shortchange themselves. Yet Christ, the God of Israel, is the one that spoke all these things either directly in person or through his servants. And when we do not study the entirety of the law of God, Christ is not going to be fully formed in us. And that's what he's saying here. Verse 17, repay no evil, that is, repay no one evil for evil. You see, as Paul is going to build up on this matter, he's going to teach later on what is the law. And we'll come to it when we are in chapter 13. He says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men, not the bad things, but the good things. And only the law of God can tell you what are the good things. Not your own concoctions, your own opinion and feelings, your own background, whether you're conservative or liberal or in between, your church, your denomination, they are not the criteria for righteousness. God is. His word is. And you have to know the entirety of the book in order to understand that. Or else anybody can mislead you. And then you're going to form a warped, demented, perverted character thinking that this is the nature of God and the law of God. And so that's what he's saying here. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, that means you have to go a long way. Live peaceably with all men. No party spirit. No we and they. No we soldiers there, you know, we generals, you know, we top brass and they're soldiers. No we cops and they're motorists or whatever. No we government and they're, you know, the subjects. You know, we the bosses and they're the employees. There's no such a thing with God. He's one. And he wants us to be one. And if we're not willing to learn that, we'll never be there. No exclusivism in his kingdom. No barriers. No borders. No we natives and the aliens. We have this attitude in every aspect of life, unfortunately. You know, we Christians are Jews. We Jews are Christians and they're Muslims and so forth. And we forgot that we're all the children of the same God. Confused now, divided now, not because of God, but because of another God, the false God. That's not their fault. You see, when God chooses to deal with them, they'll all be brothers and sisters, but God commands us while they are not. Just like, while we were yet enemies, he died for us, while they are yet enemies, different people, we should treat them as Christ treated us, was willing to die for us. That's not human nature. We don't think like that. We naturally think, you know, we and they. And they're the enemies, and we are the friends. Proving to ourselves and to God and to all that we are children of the devil, not of God. And every time we display this attitude, that's what we are saying to God. Partly we're children, partly we're the children of the devil. We're not willing to resist him because we like it, the way it is. And so he makes it very plain. That's the law of God. As much as it is possible, as much as it depends on you, because some people are so unreasonable, no matter what you do, you cannot live in peace with them. Well, you leave them alone. You see? Until they turn around, until God deals with them. But that does not mean, you know, that in between, if they're hungry, you don't feed them. If they're sick, you don't care for them. If they have a tragedy in the home, you don't weep with them anymore. You don't care about them. If something good happened in their life, you know, you don't rejoice with them anymore. You do to the degree that they allow you to, the degree that you can. Always remembering, as God always thinks of us and regards us, not as we are, but as we are going to be. And so the God who looks on things which are not as though they are, wants us to be just the same. Look on our enemies, not for what they are today, but for what they will be tomorrow. You see, go back in your mind. Think about that period of time when Saul was persecuting the church. How would you think of him at that moment? You see, those who were affected by him. Well, how did Christ feel about him, O God, when they knew him already? Because they know things which are not as though they are, as the great man and servant that they had, the Apostle Paul. You see, that's how they looked on him. Before he became that. And when we're capable of thinking that way, we become more and more like God, and then we have no difficulty loving those which are unlovable at this point. We think about the future, not only the present. And obviously, you still have to consider the present too. Because God hates the wicked, but God abhors evil, God abhors all those wickedness, and all those wicked people that he sees all around, and all the evil things that they do. But at the same time, he still loves them because he thinks of them not as they are today only, but as they will be. And so you will have to note and learn how to behave in that manner, in the present and in the future also. It's not easy, obviously, but with the Spirit of God in us, with the knowledge of the law in our hearts, because the law is spirit, it's more easy to do it. And therefore, while people are still our enemies, we learn to be able to lay down our lives for them, at least in matters of rejoicing and weeping and helping them when they're in trouble and things like that, and praying for them daily that God will open their hearts so they would be brothers instead of enemies. A lot of things we can do in the positive, and yet we spend our time mostly in the negative. And we make things more difficult for us, and then we come before God and we pray and cry, and He looks at us, and He sees us hating one another because of the evil things that they do to us, and He does not see us showing love toward them in the manner that He shows toward us while we were yet sinners, as He gave His sunshine to the righteous and the wicked, and rain, and all kind of blessings that people have all around the earth. People who are ignorant do not know God and therefore do what they do. God did not withhold His love from them. It's not as the fullness of love that He wants to give them an intimate relationship, obviously. But on the other hand, didn't go from one extreme to the other. Never want to see you, don't care about you, get out of my sight, you don't exist anymore. And that's how we treat people. That's not God, that's the devil. And we have to recognize that. And that's the reason the law of God was given to us, to open our eyes, that's the mirror of the law, so that we can see ourselves for what we are, as God sees us. And when we do not do these things by nature, which obviously takes a long time to develop this kind of an attitude, and we grow deeper and deeper and deeper into this kind of maturity, doesn't happen overnight, then we're walking in darkness and we think that we walk in the light. And we're not, you see, pleasing in the sight of God. We're not doing His will, and He's not being formed in us as He desires to. We're shooting ourselves in our own feet all the time. And that's what He's saying here. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. Most people would rather take vengeance, and we would rather get angry about a situation, do something about it. We'd rather allow wrath to take over them. Then they do not esteem others as themselves, then they hate others, then they're not willing to rejoice with others and weep with others, then they become vindictive and wrathful and angry, and they hold grudges, and they'll never forget what you have done to them and things like that. That's not the nature of God, that's the nature of the devil, and yet all of us are subject to it, unless we constantly study the Word of God day and night, looking in the mirror, and beginning to see ourselves for what we really are as God sees us, and seeing more and more and more what God is in contrast to us, and desiring to be like Him, and then gradually we see our heart being changed. And we learn to be kind and merciful not only to the good and the nice and the pleasant and the high and the mighty, but to those who are not presently in their state adorable, lovable, just like a mother. Or father, they may have a baby that messed up its diaper. It stinks, yes. You know, you don't really enjoy being with that little kid. Yet you don't hate the kid. You know, you hate the stuff there. You know, you want to get rid of it. So you take the kid and you change it. You know, you show care and love and concern and compassion and mercy. And then as soon as it's over, and you know that's going to be over, and then it's going to be clean again, or she's going to be clean again, a little baby, you see. And you're going to love them again, just like you did before. Well, that's what God does with us all the time. That's what Jesus Christ does with us all the time when He has to cleanse our diapers on a daily basis. And yet we turn around and we despise others because of the stench that we smell in them, and we forgot what we wear. And at that moment we become stinking again in the sight of God, and we are not even aware of it. That's the law of God. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Yes, for our own good, we need to be punished. Our brothers and sisters who do not act as such as they should, people in the world, need to be punished. God is not mocked. He's not only a God of mercy and love and affection and tenderness, He's also a God of wrath and of judgment. As Moses would say about Him, the Lord, the Eternal, is a man of war. There is time to go to war, even against your own brother. You see? But never forsake your love toward him. You don't go against him as the devil comes against us, but as God does it for our own good. He chastises us and punishes us, and would do it for our those, you know, make themselves our enemies when they could be our friends. And that's what he's saying here. So when you learn to be like God, you don't take vengeance. You know, this poor guy doesn't know what he's doing, you know. Big Daddy's going to take care of him, but not with a hateful spirit and attitude. We say that and plead with God, you know, to do those kind of things. Yes, we, you know, we want God to avenge us of our enemies and all the evil they've done to us, but not with a spirit of malice and hatred, but so that they may return and turn back and become our brothers, you know, bosom buddies, so to speak, so we can hug and kiss instead of fight and war and lacerate and hurt one another. And when we do not develop this nature, therefore we remain at a constant state of animosity against many within the family, between husbands and wives and brothers and sisters. You see, especially when they grow older and they begin fighting, you know, over property and things like that. Or, you know, within the family, relatives, you know, they just hate one another, resent one another, you know, you did this, you did that, you know, you didn't do this, and, you know, and they bear grudges and do all those kind of things that are very pleasing, sweet-smelling savor in the nostril of the devil, not God. And we don't realize how stinking and filthy and polluted we are. That's why, you know, the Isaiah, the prophet, said, when he thinks about the law of God and what it is and where we are in comparison, he says, all of our righteousness are as filthy garments before you. And we just don't recognize our stench. We're very sensitive to the smell of others, but not our own. We got used to it. And that's the way we function. That's what I call natural hypocrisy. It doesn't bother you to go to the restroom or the bathroom and stink and smell your own stench. You put up with it. But man, if somebody else just came out of that place and had to go inside and you smell it, and you begin to immediately think evil thoughts about that person. What a stinking, rotten, dirty person that was. You do a thing like that. You see? That's by nature. Natural hypocrisy. We all have it. And we haven't learned to esteem others better than ourselves. You see? And oftentimes when we have a problem with somebody, we just accuse that person, if not to other people, you know, if we're more reserved in that direction. We accuse them inside, you know. We constantly harbor those kind of thoughts, and we have this battle, you know, going on, and we constantly remind ourselves all the bad things that they did to us, and we have, you know, this kind of a conversation going on. All of us are doing it. That's the nature of the devil that was planted in us from a very young age. Instead of quickly say, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they are doing, please help them. Spend more time on positive thoughts and attitudes, as later on the Apostle Paul would say, the kind of things that we should think on, lovely, whatever things are lovely and good and pleasant and wholesome and all that. We don't think that way when it comes to those who either they did it or we think that they did, you know, all kind of bad things to us. We just don't think that way. And so the Apostle Paul, reflecting the mind of God, magnifying the law of God, the law of love, the law of mercy and compassion, you see, the law that has everything in it, vengeance and wrath, fury, and also tenderness, kindness, mercy, compassion, truth, light, affection, forgiveness, long-suffering, patience. That's a whole package deal. God is not divided, and yet people divided him. One aspect of it, they said, is New Testament, the other aspect is Old Testament, and all harsh and strict rules and things like that. Now that's insanity. They do not know God, they don't know Jesus Christ, and therefore when he comes and smites the earth and the wrath of the Lamb is being poured upon this earth, people who call themselves Christians will curse him. Because they would say in their own mind, because of what they've been taught, of a false concept of God, of what they think is their God, Jesus, sweet little Lord Jesus would never do a thing like that. You see, that's got to be the old harsh monster, you know, the Father. He hates us. And so, Jesus Christ is saying here through the Apostle Paul, you've got a problem with somebody, justifiable, somebody did a very, you know, bad thing to you, whatever it may be, Let God take care of that. You get it out of your chest. Don't let it harbor there as an infection and develop and take over. Clean your heart and your mind. Say it's in the hands of God. He will take care of that. In the meantime, I will pray for that person, not hate that person and harbor all kind of grudges and evil thoughts. You're poisoning your own mind when you do it, and all of us are doing it to one degree or the other. Instead of getting it out of our chest and walking clean and pure before God, reflecting Him rather than our father the devil. And He said, not only you should leave it in the hands of God, therefore He said, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. You see, if he rejoices, rejoice with him. Forget about all the bad things that happen in between. If he weeps for a tragedy, you weep with him. Because God does it with us, even with the wicked. We don't understand that. Because we don't have that nature of God in us. Because we despise his law, that's why. So if he's hungry, your enemy, personal, another country, another world, you know, they may have done a lot of bad things to you, but you know, got a big earthquake and great damage, disaster, whatever it may be. What do you say? You got your just dessert? You know, who cares about you? Stewing your own juice, as people say. Well, if you function like that, you are of the devil, not of God. And you are a hypocrite on top of that. And a bigoted person who claims to be the servant of God, claims to be of the superior culture and civilization of Christianity, and then turns around and despises anybody who is not like you, especially if they've done something bad to you. And you forget of what manner of spirit you are, as Christ said about his own disciples, when they wanted to destroy their enemies, which they perceived to be their enemies. And Christ did not perceive them to be his enemies. Later on, he went over there and spent some days with them and told them the truth. And so if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And that's an idiom, you see. Because what happens when a person knows that he's done you wrong and you've done him good? You know, he feels that sense of great heat. You know, sometimes when we do something wrong and something is going to happen, you know, we feel that inner body heat that emerges from within and fills our own body, and that's why we flash, you know, our faces, we blush, or, you know, we feel those kind of things. God created those kind of reactions within the body. And this person is going to be so ashamed. He's going to be, you know, he's going to be so warm inside. You see, because of this physical process that God created in us, because of these emotions, and obviously he's not going to be your enemy anymore at that time. How can he be your enemy after you've done him good for the evil that he had done to you? That's the nature of God. While we were yet enemies, he died for us. While people are yet our enemies, do good things for them. And that's how you neutralize them. For their own good, you turn them around. And they become your brothers and sisters. But we don't function generally like that. That's not our nature. It's not easy to change. We constantly resist God and his nature and law instead of resisting the devil. And so the devil is being formed in us instead of God. And all of us are subject to it. And so it says, verse 21, that's a law. It's not a suggestion. It's not if you feel like it. It's not if you feel spiritual. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's a medicine that you use, antidote, you see. And we don't take advantage of it as we should. Where evil is done to us, turn around, do some good. What happens in the process? God sees that his nature is being formed in us. He blesses us for it abundantly. And he's being formed in us. We gain so much more by doing good than by doing evil, by repaying others as they've done to us. You see? That means we went down to their level and we caved in, and we gave in, and the devil moves in. And now he resides happily ever after with us, in us. We don't think that way all the time. And yet in every single thought, every single emotion, every single feeling, every single attitude, every single action, which are described by the law of God, or by the law of the devil, law of the flesh. You see, we have to be constantly mindful of this. That's why God called his religion away. Didn't give it a name, Judaism, Christianity, Buddhism, Islam, whatever, because many of these laws are found in every given religion. Not all of them, unfortunately. It has nothing to do with the name. It's a way. You either walk in this way or you don't. And if you're a pagan, idol worshiper, sacrificing your children, you know, as people did in the past, that's a major problem that you have. God is going to have to deal with it. When he resurrects him, he's going to have to deal with it, bring it to their attention. But on the other hand, many of them were kind, were affectionate, were merciful, were compassionate, were honest, were decent. You see? They just didn't have it all properly. They literally believed that, you know, that's the way to worship God, you know, by sacrificing your son or doing, you know, other things. So they walk to a degree in the way. Everybody does to one degree or the other. And we should think about, you know, our brethren in that manner. You see? So whatever is lacking there, add to it. In the areas where there is evil there on their part, do good. You see? So they can become a little bit better than what they are and turn around and treat you in like manner. This is the law of God. Chapter 13. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Now, many people in this country and many other countries, they just don't like to hear that. Why? Because the authorities do all kind of bad things to us. Well, we're going to take arms, we're going to have a militia, or we're going to fight government. That's not what God said. He didn't say they are holy Joes, they're angels. They say they're all kind of bad things. He knows that. Their government, their nature, their mind and character is not of him, but of the devil. But at the same time, also, that prevent a society from becoming an anarchy. You see? That prevent criminals from roaming the streets. They do a lot of good things. And they need help. And instead of fighting them, we should pray for them. That God will sway their heart. Every single leader in this land, in every office. This is so much more than voting for them, but praying for them daily. And God commanded us to do that. Not fighting them, not hating them, not speak evil of them day and night, like the devil does of us, constantly accusing us before God day and night. Christ doesn't spend his time accusing us day and night before the Father for all the bad things that we do. You see? And yet that's what we do. And because of that, people become violent and they say, I know, I'm not going to be a part of government. I'm going to be a sovereign citizen. I'm going to be this and I'm going to be that. Self-willed people. And we don't realize that we're not pleasing in the sight of God. We're doing our own thing. We're not obedient to the law of God that commands us to accept not only good but evil. That's what he meant about turning the other cheek. You see? Be willing to suffer. Learn from it. And in the process, in spite of that, learn to love the people that afflict us by praying for them, by caring for them. You see? We don't think like that by nature. And yet this is the law of God. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. It didn't say only when they are sweet and nice. Subject to the governing authorities in good things and in bad things, and letting God take care of the bad things while we pray for the good things. For there is no authority except from God. Period. As Jesus Christ told Pilate, who was soon after to scourge him and crucify him. That's not good things. He didn't say, I'm going to take arms, I'm going to suck it to you. You see, I've got power, I'm the Son of God, I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to form a militia and get all these people, all my disciples, and I'm going to go to war against you. Didn't say any of that. He subjected himself to him, and he told him that, and he tells us that. There is no authority, no power. You can have no power over me unless it has been given to you from above. So if he was to resist it, whom does he resist but God himself? How many of us understand it, and there are many who call themselves Christians, and they take arms against the government, and they blow buildings, and do all kind of abominable things. And in their own sight, they think they're holy Joes. When they are of the devil, and they don't recognize it. And there are many who call themselves children of God, the people of God, churches of God, with the Holy Spirit, who have the same attitude too. And we do not realize that we're resisting God and not the devil, because he commanded us to be subject. And so Jesus Christ said, That's the nature and the mind of God. Therefore, I'm going to submit to you, even though you're going to scourge me unlawfully and crucify me unlawfully, which he did. And he subjected himself to him. He turned the other cheek. Now, there is a time for that, and there is a time to flee. But there is no time to fight them when God hasn't called us to do it. That's coming later. As you read in Psalm 150, where God is going to give his saints power to bind the leaders of the nations and all the evildoers on this earth, to rule upon this earth with a rod of iron. That time has not come yet, and even then it's not against them, but for their own good. You see? And that's what he's saying here. There is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So what do we do, and what do we say to God when we resist them? God ain't going to tell me what to say and what to do, how to fill my life. I'm going to hate anybody I want to. I'm going to resist anybody I want to, and who cares about you, God? That's exactly what those people are saying, their ignorance and blindness, and they don't see it. If every single authority on the face of the earth is of God, because God is trying to teach us lessons, because we need to learn them, as he told his own people Israel. You know, you reject me from being your king, your God, okay, I'll let you have your king, but let me tell you what he's going to do to you. He's going to take and abuse you and do this and that and the other thing, and when you pray to me and cry to me for deliverance, I will not hear you until you have learned your lesson. You see? That means we need to learn lessons, and therefore God will never take those authorities away until we do. And you might as well learn that lesson and make peace with the situation. And not in hatred and grudging spirit and attitude. And therefore, he continues, and this is the law of God. This is not Paul speaking. This is the God of heaven and earth speaking. This is Jesus Christ. This is the Father speaking. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. How many people think that way who call themselves Christians? Now, if God calls upon us to do the resistance, you see, that's one thing. And in this lifetime, he doesn't call upon us generally to do it. When he does, he does. We accept it, we do it. But in most cases, people do it on their own. They resist the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. You see, that's not a good place to be in. And this kind of people will say, well, we fought in your name. You know, we went and conquered in your name. We killed other people in your name. And then they'll come before Christ and tell them, I never knew you. You're lawless. You were doing your own thing. You're the devil, not of me. Get out of here. And yet we do it in so many ways. They do us evil. Whatever legalities they allow us to fight back, that's one thing, but not beyond that. There are people who are taking it personally, even though they may not take a sword and go fight the enemy, you know, the one that they consider to be the enemy, forgetting about all the good things that are being done there too. What are they doing to themselves? They're poisoning their minds and their hearts, and they're giving themselves and hearts and to the devil, not to God. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, generally speaking, but to evil. That's the reason why they are there. They're preventing criminals. And oftentimes they save overboard, you know, and they come up with all kind of laws that are stupid. But, you know, they didn't intend for them to be that way. They just don't have enough wisdom to come up with a good law or to obey the laws of God. You see? Well, whenever you can, you resist in the sense that, in accordance with legality, as Paul said, sometimes he allowed people of Rome, or, you know, the authorities, to punish him and put him in prison. Other times he told them, I'm going to appeal to Caesar. I'm a Roman citizen. He cannot do that. But he never took a sword. He never spoke evil of them, because he recognized that even when the high priest commanded somebody to smite him, he repented immediately when he recognized it was a high priest, and he said, the law says, don't speak evil of a prince in your among your people. And Paul speaks here also from a personal experience. He's been there. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you not want to be afraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. The same kind of authorities, when they see that, you know, you're submitting to, you know, and you say, I humbly submit your authority, but with all due respect, you know, what you do is not right. Well, you said your piece, and then you tell them, I'm going to continue to pray for you that God will bless you and give you wisdom, guidance, and direction to do the right thing. Well, they don't see somebody who is a rebellious person, and they don't have a need to go and smash you. But if they see somebody who resists them, and that desire arises, you know, arises within them, and they want to smash you. And you have not reflected God in that spirit, but the devil. And so, this is what Paul said, for he is, that man in authority, he is God's servant. Literally, as God told Jeremiah that Nebuchadnezzar is my servant, he does my will. When he came to devastate, destroy your own people in Jerusalem and the temple, he was doing my service. Of course, the Jews didn't look on it in that way. It didn't make any difference how they looked on it. It's how God looked on it. And we'll stop this morning again. Mordecai Joseph, greetings all of God's people until the next lesson.